What's up, Wastelanders? It's 3Dog! Ow! Coming to you live from the Capital Wasteland. I'm just kidding. This is Eric again, your host, joined once again by my co-host, Ashley.
Hello.
And in case you didn't know by the title, this episode is going to be based on the Fallout game series and the recent TV show that just aired on Amazon.
Well, some people we know in real life might think where we live is like a wasteland.
Yeah. Could easily be described as such. So. Yeah,
sort of.
Nowhere near where it is in this dystopian hellscape
that
have in the Fallout game series. So if you haven't seen the TV series yet, please tune out now. Tune back in after you've seen it.
Spoiler alert.
Definitely spoiler alerts. We're going to be talking about it because we just finished the whole thing and just wanted to do a recap of that and seeing like the certain intricacies of where it ties in with the games and everything. Because it's a pretty interesting tapestry of story. So
yes, I agree.
Yeah.
I got super into it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I haven't played the Fallout games as much as you have, but it makes me want to play them more after watching the show.
Mm-hmm. It dropped a bomb on you, basically. So
good use of the sound effect.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, we got hotkeys we're playing with today, too. So all kinds of good stuff. Dropping bombs on everything. But, yeah, the Fallout series, actually, Kevin was the one that introduced me to the games way back a long time ago. And I think you picked up. Because I never got into it right when it first came out, I think on the 360 Fallout 3 anyway. That's when I ended up getting introduced to it. And you got me the Game of the Year edition like 2 or 3 years after it released, and I was just hooked.
Well, I liked Fallout just for the music is what got me interested. Because in my line of work, I listen to music from the 50s and 60s pretty much every day.
Oh, yeah.
And I've really got an appreciation for it. And I remember you were playing it, and I'm like, is that Danny Kaye?
Yep.
Is that Barry Como? What is this?
Yeah, the soundtrack. Basically, Fallout is a fantasy dystopian story about the end of the world. So basically, technology never progressed past like the 1950s. So it has a very 50s aesthetic in a lot of things, and everything's nuclear powered. And somewhere along the line, like what was it, in 2077?
It was 2077.
They ended up dropping bombs on the entire planet. The entire planet got nuked. So. And people were able to survive by going underground in these things called vaults. And the story takes place 200 years after all this stuff. And
well, we found out that I didn't realize until just a couple days ago that the TV show takes place after all of the games.
Yep. Including, I think, Fallout 76, I think, is the newest one. That's like a mass multiplayer online type of game.
Yeah.
But I guess, yeah, the TV series takes place after all the games.
Because I saw somebody on TikTok post like a timeline. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it takes place after all of the games, which is interesting.
But yeah, the TV show was interesting. And all they had so many Easter eggs in that thing. If you played through Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas, and Fallout 4, you get tons of Easter eggs for the whole thing. It's awesome.
Well, just the way they portrayed the Vault Dwellers was funny.
Oh, yeah.
To me, just how they were so prim and proper and so friendly.
Detail-oriented and basically regimented, you know, told what to believe, what to think, and everybody's just like, almost like a good Boy Scout in a lot of ways. Kind of like, Scout's honor, gotta do this stuff.
Well, it was weird, because I recently restarted playing Fallout 3 again, which I haven't played it for a really long time, but it was, because in the TV show, it's Vault 33, and in the game, Fallout 3, you start, what vault do you start in?
Vault 101.
And Vault 101, there were like some mean people in the vault, like that kid Butch.
Oh, yeah.
He was an asshole.
Yeah. Yeah, he bullied you, basically.
Okay, playing Fallout 3, you know when you're trying to escape the vault, and Butch stops you and wants you to save his mom? I didn't save his mom.
Oh.
I was such a,
so
like,
evil.
I did, like, fuck you, you were mean to me, and my friend.
If you end up actually saving his mom, he's like forever grateful for you, and he gives you his leather jacket. That has the tunnel snakes on the back, so.
Oh, but I don't.
Yeah, that's basically what happens if you end up saving his mom from the horrible rad roaches. They're like these giant, like, radiated roaches that survived the nuclear fallout in 2077, and they're about, like, what, 3 feet long?
Okay, now that I sit and think about it, I feel kind of bad.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't save his mom.
There's a lot of morality questions here, like, especially the first time I played through Fallout 3, which you never let me live this down.
No, I did not.
Was there's a town, the first town you come across is one called Megaton. There's literally a Megaton warhead atomic bomb sitting right in the middle of the town just waiting to go off. And you're offered by this one guy in a quest to set off the bomb, kill everybody in the town, and you'll get a penthouse. So I did that for an achievement point one time. And yeah, never let me live that down.
No, the reason I never let you live it down is because in a different game, Fable.
Mm-hmm. Fable 2.
I sacrificed one person to bring back my dog.
Yeah, for some reason at the end of Fable, you end up killing off your dog is one of the options, which is ridiculous.
But so I killed one person to get my dog back, mm-hmm. and you killed an entire town for a penthouse.
That's right.
That's why I didn't let you live it down.
That's, once again, the moral dilemma of Fallout. So it's every person for themselves in a dystopian hellscape.
Yeah.
So and it is honestly probably one of the most graphic games you can ever come across.
Well, even the show.
Yeah, that's what's like. The show is very faithful to the game and how graphic everything was from, oh my gosh, limbs being torn off, blood everywhere. It is just a gruesome.
Well, with the Brotherhood of Steel when they were all in their power suits and the guy like crushed the one guy's head.
Yeah.
While he's wearing the power suit.
Mm. The one thing I'm kind of surprised about, they never really showed super mutants and never showed as much like Deathclaws or anything.
Or there were no Myra lurks either.
Yeah. Outside of like rad roaches, and for some reason they decided to go with gulpers, which is like a weird like pink enemy that's in like a DLC in Fallout 4 called Far Harbor. But it kind of threw me off.
But with the show, the thing that was weird, well, was it the first episode where she was the main character, Lucy?
Mm-hmm.
She's, what, applying to marry somebody from a different vault?
Yep, because there's too much inbreeding going on inside of this.
Well, yeah, because they're all, like, related, basically, at this point in time. Mm-hmm. And then they go over to Vault 32 and only to find out that there's really nobody alive in Vault 32. Yep. It was basically a bunch of raiders.
Raiders disguised as a bunch of vault dwellers, and they basically just, like, lay waste at her wedding, on her wedding day, to, like, all of her friends and family and everything, and it's gruesome.
You know what grossed me out, though? The scene where it was their wedding night, and they did the deed,
mm-hmm.
and then he wiped himself off on the curtains?
Shower curtains.
That bothered me.
Yeah.
No, not the shower curtains, just the regular curtains, like the window curtains. I like how he took a drink. Oh, yeah, by the way, we're drinking, in honor of Fallout, we're drinking Coke out of glass bottles.
Oh, yeah.
Pretending it's Nuka-Cola.
That's one of the big things is, Nuka-Cola is a big deal in Fallout, where it's basically like this mock Coca-Cola. They call it Nuka-Cola. Everything's, you know, bomb-related. So, you get the point. Fallout, bombs, nuclear weapons, atomic, you know, titles of things. It's kind of like a running joke.
Well, and with the show, So the show, basically, Lucy gets out of the vault
mm-hmm.
because her dad gets taken, right? Yep. But that's very similar to Fallout 3, where your character's dad leaves the vault.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very similar in that way.
Yeah. And most Fallouts fall along that line. Actually, Fallout 4 starts off with you're either the mother or the father. You actually are the parent watching your kid getting taken away from, like, your spouse. You actually see them, like, basically, you're put into cryo sleep, and then for some reason you're unthought at this exact moment in the future, and you see your spouse like fighting this one raider from taking your child, and they end up like killing your spouse in front of you.
Oh, yeah.
So, and you start off the game that way. So, you always start off at a vault, and then off you go. New Vegas is like the only exception; it's different. So, I'm pretty sure that you're not a vault dweller. You're actually the last courier. So you're like taking a message.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because I've never actually played. I've played 3 and 4. I have not played New Vegas.
New Vegas is fun. So New Vegas is a step up from Fallout 3, although I don't like the perk system, because with every level up in a typical Fallout game, you'd end up getting like one perk you can use at the end of each level up. In New Vegas, it's every other one, which is kind of annoying. But
oh, well. So we talked about her getting married. And just after that, it seems like after the whole thing with her quote-unquote wedding,
mm-hmm.
that's like when shit hit the fan, really.
The end of her life and the beginning of her new life. So, because she ends up setting out what, basically, against the wishes of the Overseer, actually going out of the vault, which is very taboo for people living in vaults. They're not supposed to go outside, even though they do all the time.
I know, yeah, because it's like, oh, yeah, don't leave the vault, but it seems like in all the other, a lot of other vaults
mm-hmm.
in the game or in the lore, a lot of people left.
Yep. So, and here's the thing about all the vaults were basically social experiments. So yes. Each one's got like a different thing they're doing to the occupied residents inside. So it could be everything from like experimentation, like super mutants. So turning people into like biologically enhancing them to be like these freak figures.
Or my favorite vault, Gary.
Yeah, the cloning vault.
The Gary vault.
Where this guy literally cloned himself. He can only say his name. And there's like a million of these guys named Gary just running around going, Gary.
Well, didn't you find a book? There's like a log or something, and all it says is Gary, 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 Gary.
Yeah. So you just, yeah. I think that's Vault 108 over in Fallout 3. That was that's an interesting vault.
Well, we were just talking about this before we came down to record this in the show, Vault 33. Like, what was the experiment in Vault 33?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it sounded like they were like leaching water out of it. I think that's what I got out of it. They were leaching water out of it to see how long they could go.
I'm still not 100% sure, but it's weird how there was like a triad of the different vaults put together. Vault 31, 32, and 33 were all like a triple vault system. They were all interconnected and they could intermingle with each other, which is interesting.
Well, they didn't, but it sounds like they didn't intermingle a lot.
No, only in like extreme cases of something. So in the case for Lucy, she had to marry somebody out of her genetic line or something like that. So they reached out to Vault 32, which had then been compromised at that point, taken over by a bunch of raiders.
Yeah, because what's Lucy's brother's name? Oh, I can't remember. But yeah, her brother and the cousin who was in love with her. Remember, they snuck into Vault 32,
mm-hmm.
and it was like everybody was dead. Nothing was working. And then, what, like a day later, the overseer is like, oh, let's go look over at Vault 32.
Mm-hmm.
And everything's like put back together and it looks like it was.
Yep. That was weird to me because it's like, okay, what is this alluding to? And like, I don't think it really ever covered that question.
And what was the experiment in Vault 32?
Exactly. So.
Well, but with the experiment in Vault 33, because they said in the show that Lucy's mom, Rose, I think,
mm-hmm.
she somehow found out that there was water being taken out of the vault. And so she left. But then I also remember in the show, they mentioned something about like the water chip or water system. Something was wrong with it. So I think their experiment was something with water.
Yep. Which that also alludes to Fallout 3 as well, because Fallout 3's main story arc was about creating some type of like modification that would allow water to be naturally purified and like not irradiated anymore. So that was, I think, paying homage a little bit to Fallout 3 in that storyline. Yeah. So it's always about water.
Well, the part of the show that I keep seeing, especially on TikTok, is about the ghoul.
Mm-hmm.
Like, about women being strangely attracted to the ghoul.
Oh.
You haven't seen that?
Nope.
Oh, my God, yeah. All over my TikTok, it was, like, these women, like, watching Fallout for the plot, and then the plot, and it's a picture of the ghoul.
He had kind of, like, a meandering, mysterious story. That's the biggest thing with this Fallout TV series, was the suspense. Mm-hmm. You didn't know where it was going. Like, it definitely keeps you on the edge of your seat and guessing, you know, or second-guessing everything that's going on with each character. And honestly, it made you like and not like the character. You couldn't tell who was the hero, who was the villain, who was, like, who are you actually rooting for in this series?
I think I enjoyed the ghoul storyline the most.
Yeah, it was intriguing.
Especially because of his backstory with his wife,
yeah,
who was a big wig at Vault-Tec.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if you watch the show later on, like, I think they're hinting that his wife and daughter might still be alive. Like, they're probably, I'm assuming, in cryosleep somewhere.
That's what I got, too.
Yeah, so maybe if they do, they're going to have to do a second season.
They'll drop that bomb soon enough.
Oh, my God.
Yep. Crawl out through the fallout, baby. The Brotherhood of Steel was pretty true to form, because in Fallout 3, that's about the only Fallout I can think where, like, the Brotherhood of Steel is actually, like, you know, the supposed good guys, because in the later games, like even in New Vegas and in Fallout 4, like you can take sides with them and everything, but I don't know if you'd necessarily describe them as the good guys.
Well, remember in the show, someone asked, oh, the Brotherhood, are they the good guys? And they're kind of like,
poke fun at themselves. They're just like, I guess, maybe. So all depends on the situation.
Tile drop.
Bomb drop on that one.
I've been waiting to do a name drop on this podcast,
yeah.
And we have found the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. So the whole reason for the name of this pod, it all depends on the situation. It's my life motto, and it kind of makes sense. With anything that goes on in life, it really all depends on the situation.
And that, I mean, Fallout, truly, depends, it really all does depend on the situation.
Correct.
In Fallout.
Same thing with, like, picking a faction, because that's the big key in the games, is picking where, like, what story you're going to end up following along. So, especially in New Vegas and Fallout 4, you end up picking a side, and then all depends on the situation.
It does.
Mm-hmm. But great story. All of them have very good stories and, you know, very well put together games. Obviously very popular, because there's so many people, You could argue which Bethesda series is actually more popular, Fallout or Elder Scrolls. Because look how many Fallout games have come out in the past, like, two decades compared to, like, Elder Scrolls.
Well, and now there's the Fallout show, and, like, hasn't there been, like, a huge increase in Fallout game sales?
Oh, yeah. Well, they're having even a sale right now. If you go look on, like, PlayStation Marketplace and Xbox Marketplace, probably even PC as well, they have, like, these massive discounts on, you know, Fallout games. You can go back and replay them. And I'm sure they're seeing an uptick in, you know.
Well, and there's a lot of people who've probably never played it before.
They're getting introduced through the TV show. Once again, great marketing. So, and the nice thing about where this universe takes place at, there's no set, like, person or story it revolves around. It's literally a location, something happened, and basically plug in the pieces where they be.
Yeah.
Because every Fallout game, you have different characters. I mean, obviously, still have the certain factions that are there, like Brotherhood of Steel is still there. There's a difference between, like, I think in Fallout 3, there was the Enclave was, like, the main enemies. And in New Vegas, you had more of, like, the NCR versus the Legion. It was kind of like a Civil War type thing. But there was no Enclave. At least not, there might be, like, a little pocket of them, but nowhere near, like, the force that they were in Fallout 3. But, yeah, about picking factions.
Hello, everyone. We're going to take a quick pause from the pod real quick and talk about another audiobook recommendation. I thought this would be appropriate for the topic of Fallout, seeing as Fallout 4 takes place in Boston. I've actually narrated another audiobook, now available on Audible, called Eat Like a Local, Boston, Boston, Massachusetts Food Guide, written by author Nicolette DeGrassi and narrated by me, Eric Brown. If you get the chance, be sure to pick it up and check out some of the awesome cuisine they have over in Boston, Massachusetts. Now back to the pod.
Well, I'm trying to think what other parts of the show we haven't talked about.
The part where she gets her finger chopped off and then just, like, fused a new, like, dead one on?
Oh, yeah, the robot. What's his name? Wadsworth?
Yeah.
I keep wanting to call him Cogsworth. Mm-hmm. That's the clock from Beauty and the Beast.
Well, Cogsworth is actually, I think he's in Fallout 4, and then Wadsworth is in Fallout 3. So these are all these Mr. Handy robots. That's what they're honestly called.
Well, the ones we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
What was his name? Fisto?
Oh, yeah. Fallout New Vegas is a very raunchy take on Fallout. So they have a lot of sexual innuendos and all kinds of other crap in that one.
Yeah, but Fisto, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Please assume the position.
We need a new soundbite.
Mm-hmm.
But back to the ghoul.
Mm-hmm.
I thought his storyline was interesting just because his, you know, talking about his wife, who was a huge part of Vault-Tec.
Yep.
But then you basically find out, but I think it was, the last episode? Or the episode 4, where you see he gets a listening device.
And basically, like, he compromises her Pip-Boy, so he's able to listen in on anything she talks about. And she ends up going into this, what, all-business corporate board meeting with all these other major companies, and basically orchestrates the end game in 2077, where basically it is alluded to, but might not be confirmed, saying that Vault-Tec was somehow involved with, like, what, the launching of nukes that ended the world.
Well, didn't she flat out say, like, we would drop the bomb, like, meaning Vault-Tec, mm-hmm. but it was never confirmed
if it was them or not.
Because they were some of the other board members were like, well, how, like, this is a risky investment for something hypothetical.
Mm-hmm.
And the ghoul, well, his name in real life was Cooper, wasn't it? Before he became the ghoul, he was Cooper. And he had to hear his wife say that, basically, oh yeah, Vault-Tec, we'll drop the bombs.
Yep, and he's the one that really starts off the whole TV show, because he ends up going to, like, what? He goes to some birthday party because he's paid, because he's actually an actor. He plays, like, some Western guy. And he goes to this party and, like, the father of this girl is like, hey, you know, just, you know, do the thumbs up pose, like the Fallout boy, you know, like the famous icon you have for Fallout. And he outright refused because he knew the secret of what was going on at, you know, Vault-Tec at the time.
Well, that's the very first episode you see him, and that's when the bombs drops.
Actually go off in the background. And that's freaky looking, because you just see him basically, what, trying to get away with his daughter on a horse, and just you see bomb after bomb.
I think there were
bomb.
Like three or four at least that got dropped at yep. that time.
And then it just pans over to just Fallout.
And then in that same scene where his wife's in that board meeting, they show that map that has all the different vaults in it.
Mm-hmm.
And Indiana didn't get a vault.
Nope. Indiana was left out. Yeah, they got, how many vaults were there all together? Like less, a little less than 200 across the world, I'm pretty sure. Not just the United States, but across the world.
Let me look, how many? So there are 122 publicly known vaults.
So there was probably a lot of secret vaults and everything too.
Oh, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But then I'm seeing other things. Some people are saying 122. I see 119. I see 112.
Yep.
So somewhere between like 110 and 120, probably.
Supposedly until, you know, Bethesda basically just changes the rules and said, oh no, now there's over 1,000. So it really just all depends
on the situation. Oh, one of my other favorite things about Fallout is the dog.
Dog meat?
Dog meat.
Yep. That pays homage to Fallout 3 because you end up getting this little companion called Dog Meat, who's like a German shepherd that follows you around everywhere. I think you find him in a junkyard, actually. So, and I don't know if he can ever really die, but that's another thing of games is having followers. So there's very interesting followers. One of my favorite, I think, was Boone, who's like a retired army ranger. The guy's like a deadeye with a sniper rifle. It's awesome. Just walk around and all of a sudden, boom, like take the head off of somebody who's like 100 yards out. Like, what in the world?
I know this person's not a follower, but one of my favorite characters in Fallout 3 is Moira Brown.
Oh, yeah.
I love her.
Well, that's the good news.
She's honestly one of the reasons I won't blow up Megaton.
Yep.
Because then I find out she becomes a ghoul if you do, and I'm like, I can't do that to her.
Yeah. Yeah, ghouls are kind of like, what, they're like almost half zombie, half feral creatures.
Well,
they used to be human.
They can become feral if they get too much radiation. Is mm-hmm. that what it is?
Yep. If they get overexposed to that stuff. And the Brotherhood, I guess, I don't know if they're hunting ghouls or hunting synths. So they don't take too kindly to them. So there's all the factions kind of like have things against each other.
Well, that's so the ghoul in the show, he kept taking that inhaler.
Yeah.
That serum that was in the inhaler. Mm-hmm. And I'm assuming that was to stop him from going feral. But they don't do that in the games, do they?
What, about the inhaler thing?
Yeah.
Not that I've ever seen.
I didn't think so.
Maybe they're alluding to that. But yeah, supposedly ghouls over enough time that end up becoming feral. And here's the thing. They can basically survive for hundreds of years because that guy who's basically the ghoul, referred to as the ghoul, he was there since the bombs dropped. So he's 200 years old in this series.
Mm-hmm. So I think the show takes place in 2296.
96, which is years after the games.
So it's been like 100 or 200, I'm sorry, 200 something years.
Mm-hmm. At least over 200.
221? Is that right?
Possibly.
So, but he's been alive that whole time.
Yep, and he's like a deadeye now. Where before he was kind of like an actor playing as a cowboy, now he's like literally just this like walking juggernaut. Like anytime he gets a gun in his hand, he's just like taking out people, and it is just gruesome. He's like taking off limbs, shooting people in the head, like blood splattering everywhere, guts are everywhere. It is a very graphic television show.
Sorry, I'm taking a sip of my Nuka-Cola, yeah. Which actually, we have the Fallout cookbook.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a recipe for Nuka-Cola and Nuka-Cola Quantum, which I would love to try.
If you haven't checked it out yet, definitely check out the official Fallout cookbook. They probably got that on Amazon or something, or a bookstore.
Well, what I find funny, so you can, you know, you can make, I was looking at the recipe, you can make Nuka-Cola Quantum.
Oh, yeah.
And it calls for seltzer water, but if you put tonic water in it,
yeah,
it'll actually, if you put a black light on it, it'll actually glow.
Oh yeah.
So I would love to do that.
That's the whole point of Quantum, because in the games, like, it gives off a very distinctive glow, which I think in the games certain quantums actually, I think they glow different colors, because I think there's in Fallout 3 it glows purple, and I think in the, I don't know if it's in New Vegas or Fallout 4, I think it goes blue. So they think they changed it up a little bit. Getting back to Lucy's journey here, because she ventures out and then runs into basically a guy who's stolen armor and everything from the Brotherhood. So he starts off as a squire, I think they're called.
Yeah, and he was a squire, and his Brotherhood knight was Titus,
mm-hmm.
who turned out he was a jerk.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was a coward. So basically, he's just like, hey, you know, clean off my, basically what would be like a jock strap or a cup. He's like, clean off this piece of armor for me. Brr. And then they end up running into, I think, a bear creature, a Yaogwai.
Yeah, and he very easily could have taken that thing out and ran.
Because with power armor like that, he could just use a power fist and just, like, smash that bear's head like nothing. But instead he runs away just screaming like a pussy. Like, oh, kill it. And he's just sitting there chastising his squire for being a coward when it's just like, oh, dude, you're the guy who just ran away with a freaking power suit armor on.
Yeah.
So.
And then, well, the squire character's name's Maximus. Did we say that already?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, his name's Maximus. And
he ends up basically, yeah, waiting for because the guy ended up, like, getting mortally wounded against this Yagwai fight and ends up, like, Maximus takes this knight's armor and everything and basically takes over the power armor.
Yeah, he assumes the name Titus.
Yep. And he's actually, like, donned himself as a knight, unbeknownst to the Brotherhood.
Yeah.
So that's a running plot line throughout many episodes.
I didn't know what to think of his character at first.
Same.
Because at first it's almost like he gives off the vibe of, like, a bumbling idiot almost.
Yeah. It almost kind of gave off Finn vibes from the Star Wars series, the Star Wars sequels. It felt very similar to that, where it's like he's running from things. But
you know, he did kind of grow on me, though, because when him and Lucy fell into Vault 4,
mm-hmm.
and he kind of got to experience what vault life was like.
Yeah, compared to, like, you know, the rough and tumble world that he basically grew up in, and he grew up in the Brotherhood. Yeah, he basically gets exposed to, like, Here's a nice comfy robe you can wear and fuzzy slippers.
Yeah, the part where he's sitting there in his bathrobe eating popcorn watching the show that was on, that was funny to
me. That's a vibe. And then he was basically like, what's this? Caviar. And he proceeds to eat caviar and oysters, and he's just like, his mind's blown because he's never experienced such a luxury before.
Well, that's, speaking of Vault 4 in the show, yeah, that turned out to be kind of weird because
Oh, it was like big time culty.
Well, you find out that they're all basically, none of them were the original vault dwellers, I don't think.
I don't think
so. They were from the outside, and you find out, like, with all the vaults, they were being experimented on.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, they were staying in the vault for safety, like, they were basically saved, I think, from the experiments.
Yep. Well, it makes me wonder, too, if they might have been, because going on later in the story, you find out that, like, the society where Lucy's mother, she basically establishes, like, this outside colony called, what was it, Shady Side or something like that?
I almost said Shady Pines, but that's the retirement home in the Golden Girls.
Oh.
Shady Sands.
Yeah. Is that the name of it?
I think.
But basically, that place ends up just getting absolutely decimated. So maybe, like, certain remnants of those people ended up, like, fleeing that area and then ended up in Vault 4, I thought.
Well, but they were experimenting on the people in the vault. And I think when mm-hmm. Remember they told her, don't go to level 12.
Yeah.
And then she goes to level 12 and she sees all these people that were being experimented on.
Mm-hmm.
But you go to find out that the people in the vault, this is what I took, mm-hmm. that they were, like, protecting them because they were being experimented on.
Because they weren't getting turned into what were essentially gulpers, yeah. I think they alluded to, because they showed, like, Lucy this weird projection about, like, the former overseer getting attacked by this big pink creature called a gulper.
Oh, I remember in the one video she saw, there was a lady giving birth in water, and she was giving birth to, like, little fish things.
Yeah, I think those are the gulpers.
Yeah.
They started off as humans, and, like, once again, experimentation, everything going awry, so.
Yeah, that was weird.
It's always a bit like chaos theory. It's just kind of like, you know, unregulated scientific advancement turns society on its head.
Just because you could doesn't mean you should.
Exactly.
A la Jeff Goldblum.
Life finds a way. But yeah, it's just, once again, warnings of that type of thing. So, but every single vault was basically a social experiment. It was given off and sold as a way of, like, safeguarding people. Like, oh, in case there's a nuclear fallout, you can stay in one of these vaults and you'll be absolutely safe. But signing on the dotted line, basically you open yourself up to, like, anybody who ends up going into the vaults before the bombs fell were basically inadvertently signing up for, like, some type of social experiment. And they did different things at each different vault.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know what character we forgot to talk about? Moldaver.
Mm-hmm.
I want to call her, like, the resistance
mm-hmm.
lady.
She's, like, the main antagonist, I feel like, of this whole thing.
Antagonist or protagonist, depending on who you talk to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing, when you find out, too, toward the end of the episode, so Moldaver, yeah, she's the leader of the resistance. I'm just going to say that, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And you find out Lucy's mom was a ghoul.
Yeah.
A feral ghoul. Like, at the end, yeah, she's basically a feral ghoul. And I don't know if you caught this or not, like, were Lucy's mom and Moldaver, like,
Close,
or were they just friends, or were they in a relationship? Because she held her hand
at the very end,
but she was already dead. But yeah, like, mm-hmm. she was keeping, kind of weird, she was keeping her, like, chained up to that chair. Did you see her? Because her arms were tied to the chair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, some weird possessive thing there. So I did pick up on that type of stuff.
I'm like, oh,
But basically how the whole story ends, what you find out that it was Lucy's father who was kidnapped at the very, episode one, at the beginning by, Moldova. Mm-hmm. And basically you find out that he's the one who actually ended up bombing her own mother.
Yeah, because Shady Sam, he was the one who bombed it, because she left and she wouldn't come back with him. And
correct. And he's all about order and structure and everything, so he ends up bombing her. And this whole time, she was basically running around with this one scientist, because apparently he had something implanted in his, upper part of his neck, lower part of his head. It was, some type of, energy source.
It was a little itty-bitty cold fusion generator. Mm-hmm. He injected it into his neck.
Yep, and supposedly it was just, sustainable energy for, I guess it could always generate energy for some reason, but it was so tiny. And they ended up sucking that out and basically convincing Lucy's father to basically give over the Vault-Tec codes so they could activate this thing, and it ends up generating power to all the surrounding area. And the very end of everything, it pans out to a silhouette of a very familiar sight. It's actually Fallout New Vegas.
And the season two, I don't think has been officially announced yet.
No, but they're alluding to the season two will take place in Fallout New Vegas.
Oh, and yeah, it's absolutely, this show's been so huge, it's absolutely going to happen.
Yep. And I think they're going to do it justice too, because this will be, I don't know how many years after the game of New Vegas, so things have changed. House is no longer there. He was the guy who kind of ran everything in New Vegas during that, during the original run of the game. So this will be decades after all that stuff happened. So
that'll be interesting.
I'm curious to see what it'll take it, but yeah. Fallout New Vegas takes a very different type of vibe. So
it does, just because from watching you, because I do enjoy watching you play these games. And it does seem different.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very, a lot more raunchy. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. When you walked into that one room and it was just full of prostitutes and the ghoul prostitutes.
Yep. So, yeah, it's very much to the tune of, paying homage to Vegas.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of, nods to old Vegas, too, I feel like. So they have, different celebrities like Dean Domino and a couple other people up
there. Which is absolutely a nod to Dean Martin.
Oh, 100%. So it's a nod to all the old actors. So once again, keeping up with, the whole 50s, early 60s aesthetic of this thing.
Which, like I said, that's a huge reason why I like the Fallout series, is because I'm very familiar with things from that era.
Yep. Yeah, the soundtrack's definitely one of the plus sides of the Fallout series, because, all the music from back in the 50s. So, still toe-tappers today, and it's funny. Like you said, it's a lot of people in, their, 70s, 80s, and 90s, they'll be listening to this music, and all of a sudden they'll be like, what in the world? What's this young whippersnapper listening to, the music from my youth form? And it's literally just because, Bethesda brought it back.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think one of the most famous ones is I Don't Want to Set the World on Fire.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to sing because I can't, but everybody who plays Fallout knows the song.
Oh, yeah.
I can't. I will not play it because copyright.
Crawl out through the fallout, baby, when you drop that bomb. Dropping bombs.
And the bongo song.
Bonga, bonga, bonga.
By Danny Kaye. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they got a lot of classics in there. So, and a lot of them kind of allude to different things you can do in the game. Like the one guy talks about hacking and slashing and whacking. Mm-hmm. It's if you go around and just basically with a machete in Fallout 3, you could just, hack and slash at people.
Kudos to whoever picked out all the songs.
Oh, I know.
For these games, because they're spectacular.
Weirdly fitting. Mm-hmm. So
they really are.
It paints a very interesting picture with Fallout, because, like I said, it's dystopian, but at the same time, people just revel in it. And they love the aesthetics of not only the soundtracks and the songs that work, kind of like how, the whole 80s and 70s songs work in Guardians of the Galaxy?
They do.
It takes a very similar approach with that in Fallout.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I think the whole appeal of Nuka-Cola with Coca-Cola gives it kind of that old school familiar vibe, especially the advertising looks very similar to classic Coca-Cola.
Well, I like how in the Wasteland, the form of currency is caps.
Yeah, bottle caps. So every time you crack open a Nuka-Cola, you gain one, essentially, dollar in the Wasteland. So, and then it's kind of similar over in New Vegas. There's another one called Sunset Sarsaparilla, where I think you also get bottle caps from that as well. Hmm. So, but yes, the currency in all the Fallout games, including the TV show, are
caps.
Bottle caps. So, would you think people would be able to just kind of mass produce at random? Because it'd be like the easiest thing to like.
Not in the nuclear fallout wasteland, probably not.
Yeah, just get like a little press and just go. Pff, pff. So.
You could make counterfeit caps.
Yeah. There's an interesting thing or a dynamic in Fallout New Vegas, though. When you go into any of the casinos, because Vegas was left untouched by the war, because Mr. House, who kind of ran Vegas, he actually had the jump. He was so smart. He had the jump on, like, before the bombs fell, he's able to deactivate 59 of, like, the 70-some bombs that were supposed to fall around Vegas, and he was able to deactivate them mid-flight.
Wow.
And then he was able to do something with 9 more of them. So very few ended up actually hitting around Vegas, but Vegas was spared from the bombing, which is kind of crazy. But when you go into any of these casinos, you can trade different types of currency. There's New California Republic, NCR currency. There's, I think, the Legion, Caesar's Legion or Caesar's Legion actually has a currency. And then there's also bottle caps.
They say Caesar, right?
They say Caesar, but really it's Caesar.
Yeah, because they probably didn't know how to pronounce it.
But like, oh my gosh, like all the different voice actors like, oh wait, true to Caesar. And you're just like, it's spelled Caesar.
Probably, I mean, it's probably because of Caesar's palace.
Yeah, they're playing on like a whole bunch of like, notes or nods to Vegas. But yeah, you got to play New Vegas too, just kind of like.
I want to.
Yeah, to get a better understanding of the whole game, or at least the whole series.
So. Well, like I said, I've played 3 and I've played 4.
Yeah. 4, honestly, I thought it was okay, but it's got a whole different type of feel to it compared to a typical Fallout game. It's kind of cool how you can like build up your own special base out of any settlement, but honestly,
the intro sequence freaked me out when I first played it.
Yeah, that's also very reminiscent of the TV series, too, where like, your character, like, you're actually in the living room with your spouse and your newborn kid named Sean. For some reason, your kid's always named Sean. And you end up watching the TV, and you just see the news reporter just saying, we got confirmed reports of bombs getting launched in Philadelphia and L.A. Oh, God. He's freaking out. All the, like, nuclear sirens are going off, and you and your spouse are just running down the street heading towards this vault that you just happened to book, what, even that earlier that day?
Yeah.
And you're basically running, and all of a sudden you see a bomb go off in the background.
Just as you're getting lowered into the vault, like
to safety.
The shock hits.
And it's very unnerving.
Mm-hmm. Unsettling, that's the way I would describe it.
Bomb dropping. What a blast. But, yeah, it plays on a very interesting fear that I think a lot of people have of just, like, everybody fears nuclear Armageddon.
Oh, yeah.
It's just, a terrifying concept. But, like, they're honestly constantly poking fun at it through the entire series. Because nuclear fallout is not a joke. If you've seen the Chernobyl TV series on HBO, so many hundreds of people died from that thing. Just from the fallout. The radiation from all that, like, ugh.
Well, how they always make jokes about, like, cockroaches surviving, nuclear war. Yep. And, I like how they put that in the game, but made them, like, massive.
Yep. It was like, they were basically taking that radiation and just grow from it.
Rad roaches.
Mm-hmm. Were very annoying. Which of the Fallout games are you most interested in playing in the future here, too? Because you've played a little bit into Fallout 3. You've never played New Vegas or even Fallout 4?
Yeah, I played Fallout 4.
How far did you get into it?
Pretty far, if I remember right.
Did you actually beat the whole game?
No. Well,
here's the weird thing with that one. That branches out into, like, 3 or 4 different story arcs at a certain point. You end up choosing to join a certain group.
And I know that's why you don't like the ending, because you hate nonlinear endings.
That type of stuff drives me nuts.
Well, and I know at the end, you basically find out the,
Institute?
The Institute. Isn't the leader of the Institute your son?
Yeah, it's, like, the biggest, revelation of that game, is you find out that your son was actually taken out of cryosleep, like, 60 years before your character was eventually unthawed again? So you're going around thinking that you're searching for your son who's an infant. My son's been taken, blah, 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 blah. And you come to find out that he's grown up. He's an old man now. He actually leads this scientific community into trying to make the wasteland better. So, and you can either choose to, like, help him or help destroy him. So, and
which one did you pick?
I've actually done them all. So I've done the ones where I help him, because regardless, your son's dying. He has cancer.
Which is not surprising, being exposed to radiation all the time.
But he's an old man at this point. He's actually older than his father, which is a very trippy thing.
Yeah.
Or father or mother, depending on which player you play as. But it's, very surreal. It makes your head spin. You're like, what in the world is going on? And the biggest thing in that game, too, is the robots, the synths. Yeah. Where basically, there's three different tiers of synth. There's, like, ones that look like normal robots, tier one. Tier two could be, you know, a little bit more passing like a human. Tier three, you can't even, like...
Now, is there an ending where you find out your character is a synth, or was it kind of ambiguous and you don't know?
Well, there's an add-on pact in Far Harbor where you end up running into the synth that talks about, like, do you remember where you were before the certain area? How can you be sure you're not a synth? And I think you can actually choose whether you believe you are a synth or are not a synth in that game. And I think depending on what path you choose, I think it'll give you that, you know, corresponding story. I don't know, because I've never fully beat Far Harbor because it constantly, like, crashed on me. Because for some reason, like, my old Xbox couldn't handle that much stuff.
Well, now we have a better.
Yeah, the newer one should probably work, hold it a lot better. So maybe I'll get another run through. So it's very customizable. If you play Fallout 4 compared to Fallout 3 or New Vegas, you can definitely build a lot more stuff. And the power armor is definitely a lot more of a factor, which is pretty cool.
Oh, one of the things I had forgotten about when I started playing Fallout 3 again was the goat test.
Oh, yeah. How you basically set up all your skills at the beginning of a game.
Well, and I never knew that you could skip it because I just did it.
Mm-hmm.
And I took it, which those questions were so funny.
Oh, yeah. It's the most ridiculous. It's poking fun at standardized testing.
Oh, yeah. Cause, I mean, which is basically what standardized testing is.
Yeah.
But oh. Some of the answers. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. They do that deliberately. Just get a rise out of people. So, but yeah, there's a way in the dialogue option you can do where you can just skip everything. That's what I do. He's just
see,
like,
and I didn't know you could do that. I forgot, or I didn't know you could just skip it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, okay.
There's an option. Just like, do I really have to take the stupid test? And he's just like, no, just tell me the answers and off you go. Basically, select what you want, which I think you can anyway, even after the test is over. You can go back and, like, select what you actually want.
I got Pip-Boy Programmer.
There you go.
For so, my skill.
I skipped the test because I'm just that savvy. So, woo.
Well, see, I didn't know you could skip it.
Mm-hmm. Now you do. So, next playthrough, you can easily skip past all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I am curious about cooking up stuff from the Fallout cookbook, though, because that thing's actually pretty darn true to the actual series. Like, most cookbooks you get that's, like, video game themed, sometimes they don't have, like, pictures of whatever food they're cooking. In this, it actually has, like, cool things where it's, like, you know, it might be, like, a buffalo burger, but they cross it out and just name it, like, some cattle, like,
or the Brahmin burger.
Yep.
I want to make the Blamco mac and cheese.
Yeah. Which I don't know about that one, because this is what, the secret ingredient, I think, is, like, what, carrots?
But you ground it up in the sauce, so you probably won't even taste it.
When I think of mac and cheese, I don't think of carrots. That just seems weird to me.
I want
to
try it. Oh, so, I want to make the chicken noodle soup.
The chicken noodle soup looks good. There's a bunch of different things, like the iguana stick.
Iguana stick.
Which basically just like, what, bacon-wrapped scallops or something like that?
I forget what those were.
Mm-hmm.
But no, the chicken noodle soup has jackfruit in it.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Good luck finding that, unless you special order it somewhere.
And we're definitely, like I said, we're definitely going to make the Nuka-Cola. What else was in that cookbook?
Yeah, a little bit of everything.
Oh, there was a...
There's Rataway packs in there.
Rataway, sure. There was, or the rat, what's it called?
The rat?
The rat, something rat dip. There was some sort of rat dip in there, quote-unquote rat dip.
I remember I tried making, like, the Queen Mirelurk thing. It's basically, like, some salmon slathered with a whole bunch of, like, a gray gravy sauce or something like that, and it did not agree with me at all. It's actually rather disgusting. I'm like, ugh. But the rest of that cookbook does look pretty darn enticing.
I still like in the game how it's not spam, it's cram.
Yeah. They poke fun at a lot of different brands. Obviously, Nuka-Cola, Coca-Cola. Cram is spam. Trying to think of something other, like Sugar Bombs is a cereal
sugar
there.
Yeah.
So they're basically poking fun at like cereal chains for like dumping so much sugar inside of like a cereal. There's a whole bunch of references like that. It's just kind of poking fun at everything.
But yeah, it was interesting to me just how they developed it and how the style from the 50s continued.
Oh, yeah.
But technology still advanced.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because they had like the robots and the all the different scientific advancements. But yeah, the style of the 50s still remained. Yep.
And basically it was... incorporating nuclear power into everything. So instead of just going like with solar, wind, and water energy and stuff like that, no, it was just everything's nuclear powered, including these computers on all the Vault Dwellers' hands called Pip-Boys. These things are actually nuclear powered. So.
Well, and they were talking about, I saw a video where how in normal American history versus Fallout history, it was all the same up until like the 60s. And mm-hmm. then the Fallout reality started. That's when. They said in the 60s, what, they got rid of the 50 states and they turned it into the 13 Commonwealths?
Commonwealths, yeah, which was interesting. And I think they ended up annexing Canada and annexing Mexico over the course of time, which is wild.
Yeah.
So, and the Soviet Union, I guess, never collapsed. So the Soviet Union and China, I think they got into like some big altercation with the United States over Alaska, Operation Anchorage. And the United States ended up winning. And yeah, from there, something happened where the bombs ended up falling. And
well, they said there was a resource war there for like 10 years or something. There was a resource war. Mm-hmm.
But that once again, the TV show alludes to there might be other forces at play there, not just, you know, government level, might be more corporations or other secret entities that wanted, you know, the bombs to fall so they could recreate a society in the way that they wanted to.
Well, if they make another Fallout game, which I'm sure they will.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Especially after the show came out. I'm curious to see where they'll take it. Like, are they going to wait until after season two of the show comes out?
I have no doubt that that'll be the case, because it just seems like how all the Fallouts are coming out, they're all consistently coming out after each one. It's not like...
not like Elder Scrolls where you have to wait like 10 years for the next game to come out.
Mm-hmm. But even Elder Scrolls, I think actually, well, except for Elder Scrolls Online, it actually jumps forward like a whole millennia or something.
Oh, that's right.
It takes place in the second era compared to like, you know, the third and fourth era.
But well, yeah. But it'll be very interesting, yeah, to see how they tie it in with the show.
I wouldn't be surprised if we end up having another Fallout game before Elder Scrolls 6. I'll put it that much, put it that way, too.
Well, God, what games have you gotten before Elder Scrolls 6? I mean,
everything. Even Starfield, which
Starfield,
I feel like that one's really kind of like sputtered out lately.
That seemed like it got so much hype.
It did.
And then fell dead.
Yeah. Well, it's so much substance, but honestly, it's kind of overwhelming because there's so much stuff to do.
You could say it bombed.
Yep.
Thank you.
What a blast.
But yeah, because I remember you were really, really hyped for Starfield.
Yeah.
And then you started playing it, and I played it a little bit too, and it's just kind of like, yeah.
Well, I think people ended up, like, debunking that game in a lot of ways too, because people actually made, like, this awesome little prism cube of a spaceship, and they found out, like, the targeting system, I think they've since updated it, but when you first played it, this guy created basically, yeah, a prism cube of a spaceship, and how the enemies out in space would basically fight your ship was they would target the middle of your ship. Well, if you fly around in like this prism cube thing where there's nothing in the middle or on the sides, they can never hit your ship. So it was just like such a nasty bug that basically broke the game.
Yeah, because I really don't really see that much hype about it, whereas like Elder Scrolls and Fallout, there's so much hype for those two games.
Well, I feel like the popularity of Fallout actually is more than that of Elder Scrolls, hence why there's so many more Fallout games that constantly come out compared to Elder Scrolls, and it's more lucrative. Although, Elder Scrolls Online seems to be doing better than Fallout 76. That's their online MMO of like a similar type of thing, and that thing had a very terrible release for some reason. It was very buggy, very, very flaky. But I guess they've since fixed up a lot of things. I don't know. I might give it another try coming up here.
But that seems to be a trend now where, like, dystopian things are popular. I would say over the last, like, maybe... when did the Hunger Games come out? Like, Hunger Games is very dystopian. Mm-hmm. There's a book series and movie series called Divergent. That's very dystopian.
Yep. Well, I think people like to, through recessions and depressions, they tend to focus on stuff that, like, matches, like, their world in a lot of ways. Kind of gives, like, an alternate escapism a little bit, but something very similar and dark. So people get into medieval stuff during recessions and depressions, or stuff that's got, like, a downtrodden or dark kind of theming. And Fallout fits that bill.
You know what's kind of a similar game to Fallout?
Mm.
Stray.
Yeah, kind of, sort of.
Kind of. Not nuclear Fallout, but yeah, Stray's basically, which is actually... Stray is one of my new favorite games ever. You basically play as a cat, but it's basically takes place in a dystopian future where there's no humans left and it's all robots.
Yep.
And you come to find out you're not living in a vault, but it's basically this giant
like
dome facility.
Contained facility.
Because in Stray, it's not nuclear Fallout, it's... they created this bacteria that was supposed to eat trash, but it basically overgrew and started eating people.
Yep.
And well,
started eating robots.
And then it started eating metal. Mm-hmm. So they built these giant domes to contain this bacteria called Zerks. I almost said Zorks. Zerks.
Zerks.
But yeah, but it's very similar, though. Stray and Fallout are pretty similar.
Yeah. Fallout's more extensive, though, because it's like across the entire planet.
Yeah.
So.
But I am partial. which some people might think I'm crazy, but I think I prefer Stray to Fallout. Yeah. That's just me.
The graphics in that one definitely surpass that of anything Fallout's come out with.
Yeah. I mean, the it's kind of got Blade Runner vibes almost. Yeah,
all of them kind of do because they're all dystopian, like alternate future type stories.
Well, Fallout definitely gives me Mad Max vibes.
Yes, there's a little bit of Mad Max and Blade Runner, I think, kind of mixed together. It gives you Fallout. So I've always kind of got that kind of vibe from them.
But it does seem like in the, I would say the last like 15, 20 years, like dystopian things have gotten very popular.
Because that's the way, you know, a lot of people kind of view the world right now, because people are just kind of looking for a sign of hope with things, because they're like, you know, is the American dream still a thing? Or is this just like, you know, are we heading towards a revolution or just whatever? So people are just, you know, kind of going through a lull right now.
Yeah.
And they're looking for, once again, escapism, and video games give them that escape. And dystopian topics and stuff like that, I don't know, give it a weird sense of comfort.
Kind of?
Yeah. Where it's like you're able to basically, you know, relate to that in some weird way. Where it's kind of like, you know, hey, maybe things are going to be okay.
So, or it might make things seem a little better because, like, hey, things are bad, but at least we're not living in a nuclear wasteland yet.
Yeah. But it also gives you, once again, like all video games, kind of gives you a false sense of achievement in a lot of ways, too. It's like, hey, you've saved the wasteland. It's like, okay. So, that's something.
But that it's funny, and I'm talking about Stray again. But it is funny how, like, you open the, like, at the end of Stray, like, you open the dome facility thing. And
it kills all the Zerks because they're exposed to sunlight and they can't handle sun.
But then, like, in Fallout, like, you don't want to open the vault. Like, opening the vault's a bad thing.
Yeah. Well, it opens the door from, like, you know, such a contained, you know, ideology, and it allows you to open up and actually see the world.
Yeah.
So, which that unto itself is symbolic, too, because a lot of people are too afraid to open up. They'd rather be contained in their little vault. And maybe it's kind of like almost a figure of speech where it's like, you'd open up your vault and get out in the world.
Like you're seeing what things are really like.
Mm-hmm. You never know until you get out there.
We're being very philosophical right now.
Well, there's a lot of metaphors to take from Fallout that, you know, reflect everyday life and, you know, just display it out in a story.
I would agree with that.
But overall, Fallout, definitely in my pantheon of favorite games, without a doubt. And it's been fun to actually go back and play that again, too, because it's been far too long.
Mm-hmm. I've enjoyed playing it.
Mm-hmm. So, after we're done with this problem, we'll probably go back upstairs and play some more Fallout 3 a little bit, too.
I still like in Fallout 3, you basically start the game, you're a baby.
Yep.
You're basically being born. Like, literally, you start the game, you're being born.
Welcome to the world.
And there you go.
Fallout's awesome.
It is a very fun game. And I really, really, really enjoyed the show. Like, I enjoyed it more than I thought I would.
Well, yeah, because you've never really gotten to the games until, like, the...
Well, I played them, like, I remember a few years ago, like, I played Fallout 3 and 4, and I got into it. But I've always enjoyed the lore.
Mm-hmm.
And even if I didn't play the games as much as you did, like, I would look up stuff about the lore.
And there's a lot to look up for, like, the depth of lore that goes into that game. It's pretty substantial. But I think just the suspense and the way they portrayed the TV series really kind of brought you in. And I think it's going to have that effect on a lot of people, too, where people are going to be brought in after viewing this series and going, holy shit, there is a lot of stuff to unpack here that it'll get them into the games. It's, once again, one thing advertising and, you know, promoting another.
Well, didn't you, was it the sales of Fallout went up like 400% or something like that?
It's definitely increased a ton. Plus the running sales, they know what they're doing. So, and it's funny enough, too. There's actually an iPhone game, which is kind of like a little, what's that, vault builder game called Fallout Shelter. And
oh, I forgot about that
they
game.
They actually added the ghoul, Maximus, and Lucy, I think, into the game already.
Oh, I remember you played that game all the time.
Yeah, it's honestly a money pit because it's basically a free game, free app. But then, like, they have a ton of microtransactions. You can get lunch boxes that give you special characters and everything else. But it is definitely a money trap iPhone, like, mindless time waster game.
Well, and did you see what they did for the Apple Watch? You could have your Apple Watch look like a little Pip-Boy.
Really?
Yeah, which it makes me want to, I haven't used my iWatch or my Apple Watch in a while, and I'm like, oh, maybe I should do that.
During the Fallout 3 release, and I talked with this to Sean about, like, back in the, what was it, late, early 2000s, early 2010s, video game companies released these awesome, like, special edition, like, collector's item things. For Fallout 4, there was this really cool one where you could actually get a Pip-Boy. like an actual one you could wear on your arm, and you could stick your iPhone, I think it was iPhone 5, would fit inside of it, and you could actually load up, like, it actually looks like it does in the game.
I am shocked you do not have that.
I know, never got it. So
I am shocked you don't have that.
Yeah, we could look it up, but there was a really cool Pip-Boy. I'm pretty sure it, like, fits anybody because it's got, like, a little adjustment strap. But it's the one from Fallout 4. It's that Pip-Boy. It looks really cool.
Oh, that's so cool. I genuinely am surprised you don't have that.
The iPhones today won't fit inside of it. But I think iPhone 5 back then, because it would have been new at the time, I think it probably would have. So it was either iPhone 4 or iPhone 5 or something. So, but I do miss, you know, the cool collector's editions.
Well, that's how I know. I think we mentioned this in one of our other episodes where you got the, when Halo, one of the Halo games came out, you got the Master Chief helmet.
And yeah, that's what I mean. They're really cool collectibles.
They don't really do stuff like that anymore.
Nope. Sean and I alluded to that as well.
But everything, well, because everything's downloadable now.
It is. And that's what game companies are trying to basically try and push on everybody, because you don't really own anything if that's the case. Mm-hmm. And not to mention, they don't have to go out of their way making all this extra stuff. So it's cost effective on their part. And once again, also because of the economy and everything, too, because of all rapid inflation.
Yeah.
Why spend all this useless extra money on extra stuff when people are just going to buy the game on digital download for even extravagant prices, too? Like, when we just picked up Tekken digital download, that alone was, like, what, $110 or something like that?
No. The special edition was, but I just got, but still, it was, like,
the base game
$70.
Was still, yeah, about, like, 80 or 90 bucks. It was crazy. But, yeah. And that's the thing. It's just, it's a digital download, so you don't get any other, like, extra stuff.
Yeah, there's no special stuff. Now they basically, oh, you get this character outfit or,
yeah.
Or like in, what we said, Diablo, they have a horse you can download for $60.
Yeah, 65 bucks for an add-on horse. Like, come on. Are you kidding me?
Come on, what a joke.
Yeah. I could go down the rabbit hole of, like, well, I think microtransactions are such a money grab, especially for a AAA title game. You pay good money to play a finished product, and they're not finished products.
Yes.
So Bethesda's been guilty of that too, because they, you know, rushed up to market, and that's why a lot of Bethesda games are full of a lot of bugs too. I mean, it's inevitable.
See, I don't necessarily mind if a game comes out and they add like another DLC that's like full of like different levels and really adds to the story, but then other games where I feel like they just nickel and dime you for every little thing.
Oh yeah. That was definitely Halo's, you know, formula going forward here, and it's blown up in their face tremendously.
But that makes me wonder what the next Fallout game is going to be like. Like, how much is it going to be?
And that's what I'm worried about with Bethesda. Since Bethesda was bought out by Microsoft, Microsoft acquiring companies is almost like a kiss of death. Because look what they've done with 343 and Halo. It's completely gone in the gutter. And I'm terrified with Bethesda be getting bought out by Microsoft, where they're going to be going. Because what's the next Elder Scrolls 6 going to look like? Or even what's the next Fallout going to look like? Because this would be the first Fallout, I think, released under this, like, the true guidance of Microsoft. So, we'll see what happens. But, I think we're probably going to wrap up here. But, thank you everybody for tuning in to our Fallout pod. Hope you've enjoyed it. So, we'll see you next time on It All Depends on the Situation. Have a blast.